we sang together. Did you hear that? She was right with me. That's right. You tell it the way. He doesn't believe that.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to look at 1 John chapter 3 today. We're looking at different themes in 1 John. Instead of chapter 1 this and chapter 2 that, there are tapestry threads through the book of 1 John. There are themes through the book of 1 John. 1 John has 105 verses. And in those 105 verses, the devil is mentioned 9 times. 4 times he's called the devil, 4 times he's called the wicked one, and 1 time he is called he that is in the world. And so we want to start with 1 John chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9. I read something the other day. If I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking they came from man's efforts instead of God's blessings. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. I would cheapen human life as much as possible so that the life of animals are valued more than the life of humans. And I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It says it's safer to be a baby whale than it is to be a baby human in America. I would take God out of the schools and where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. I would get control of the media so every night I could pollute the mind of every family member for my agenda. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I would compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and movie screens, and I would call it art. I would convince the world that people are born homosexuals and their lifestyles should be accepted and marveled. Yeah. Now, that was written a while back. This week, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania Law School was asked to quit teaching. She wrote a paper, Amy Wax, she wrote a paper with a professor from the University of San Diego Law School. And the students and the professors on campus are protesting. They're demanding that she shut down and ship out. In fact, the dean says she should take a leave of absence and not teach any classes this year. Why? Because she began cataloging what's wrong with America. This is part of what their paper said. Too few Americans are qualified for the jobs available. Male working age labor force participants are at a depression era low. Opioid abuse is widespread. Homicidal violence plagues the inner cities. Almost half of all children are born out of wedlock, and even more are raised by single mothers. Many college students lack basic skills, and high school students rank below those from 24 other countries. So, she said, until the 1960s, the norms were this: get married before you have children. Wow. And stay married for their sake. Get the education you need for gainful employment. Work hard. Avoid idleness. Go the extra mile for your employer or candidate. Be a patriot, ready to serve your country. Be neighborly, civil-minded, and charitable. Avoid coarse and rude language in public. Be respectful of authority. Eschew substance abuse and crime. Large number of students and professors labeled her as racist, white supremacist, hate speech, whatever that word is, and xenophobic. 33 faculty members signed some kind of protest letter inviting students to harass her. Yeah. Wow. If I were the devil, what would I do to wreck America? Yeah. Okay. So let's look at that. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, beginning of verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, you know, people want to deny there's a devil. People want to ignore the devil. People want to laugh at the devil. That's why we have Halloween now, to inoculate people against the devil. Halloween, devils, ghosts, spooks are all fun and games. Okay, but the devil's real. Billy Graham said one time, do you believe in the devil? Jesus talked about it. The whole Bible talks about it. I believe he exists, and I believe he tempts me in my daily life every day. He troubles me at every turn. This pastor was preaching on the devil, and he says, is there anybody here that knows there's a devil? And this deacon in the back raised his hand. He said, Brother Joe, how do you know there's a devil? He said, because I'm married to his sister. Wow. Satan, the word Satan, is the word the adversary, the enemy. But the Jews came to understand that there is a real Satan, a spirit being that works against everything that's godly. Actually, Satan's only mentioned three times in the Old Testament. Mentioned in the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2. Mentioned in the book of Chronicles and mentioned in the book of Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah, Satan is in the temple trying to interfere with the worship service. Read that in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 3, chapter 4. Satan is in the worship service trying to interfere with real worship of God. Wow, as J. Vernon McGee used to say, the devil has a branch office in every church. Some of you have met some of those people. Yeah. 179 references in the Bible to the personal devil. In the Bible, he's a real being. Job chapter 1. Job 1:6. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that he's a real person. He carried on a conversation with God. He carried on a conversation with Jesus when Jesus was tempted. He is a real being. Tempted in Matthew chapter 4, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you will bow down and worship me. Yes, he was a real person. Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan cast from heaven to earth. A real person. And he's cast to earth. He's called the ruler of the darkness of this world today, the prince of the power of the air. He is credited with personal statements. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, we were going to do this, but Satan hindered us. He's not some generic evil force in the world. He's a real person. Now, that is the devil's person. What is the devil's program? Well, look at his names. Lucifer, Satan, tempter, devil, adversary, accuser of the brethren, enemy, wicked one, destroyer, father of lies, wolf, murderer, sower of discord, the devil's program. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now there's no thee there. The devil sinneth from beginning because God made the angels before he made the world. okay? And then it starts off in Genesis, in beginning. John starts out, in not in the beginning, but in beginning was the Word, because there is no beginning. There's no point of beginning. God is eternal, eternal in the past, eternal in the future. And in 1 John, that which was from beginning. There is no the in any of those places. Yeah. Paul traces sin to man, as by man sin entered into the world, and thus death by sin, so sin passed on to all men because all have sinned. He credits sin with people. But Paul says, John says, sin started with Satan. He sinned against God. He rebelled against God. And that's what we find in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. The two big passages in the Old Testament are Ezekiel 28, beginning of verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Now, you can read this, but this is beyond any human king. This goes to Satan, who stands behind these evil kings. Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. I guarantee you the king of Tyre had not been in the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering, and it list them. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Satan is a created angel of God who rebelled. And it goes on, Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 14, you find the same thing where Isaiah calls him Lucifer. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground that didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said on thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Devil had eye trouble. 1 John 3:12 says, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Look at that. Now as Cain, who was of the wicked one, slew his brother, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers righteous. The first sin of murder was because he was inspired by the devil. You know, the Bible says he's called the wicked one. He's called the wicked one in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the way the King James reads it. It's ho pornoros in Greek, the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan is the meaning of the Lord's Prayer there. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh for to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Spurgeon said one time in a sermon, the best evidence of God's presence is the devil's growl. Yeah. Okay. So you have the devil's person. He is a real person. He's a real created spirit being. You have the devil's program. You have the devil's people. Whosoever committeth sin is of the devil. And that's the linear action of the Greek verb. Whosoever keeps on committing sin over and over and over. John chapter 8 talks about lust in your heart that comes from the devil. I don't have that marked. Okay, you'll take my word for it, right? Okay, all right. He perverts God's ways. Acts 13:10 is a really cool verse. Acts 13:10, the sorcerer Elymas is opposing the apostle Paul. Then Saul, whose name is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety. Interesting word, because it says in the Garden of Eden, the devil, the serpent, was the most subtle of all creatures. Paul calls this sorcerer full of subtlety. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And that's a lot of what the devil does. He takes something that's basically good and twists it, perverts it, causes excess with it. A lot of things in our government started out good, and yet they are so excessive now, taken to the extreme. Obstructs God's people. Peter. Jesus was telling the disciples in Matthew 16, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. Peter started arguing with him. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, who? Satan. Because Satan opposes the work of God. Genesis 1:12, when God made the world, everything brings forth fruit after its own kind. You know, you don't get lemons off of orange trees unless you graft them there. You don't get collards off of lime trees. Sorry about that. Everything brings forth after its own kind, and the devil's kids bring forth after their own kind. You know, by your fruits you shall know them, Jesus said. Yeah, everything brings forth and reproduces after its own kind, Genesis 1:12. So you have the devil's person, the devil's program, the devil's people, and you have the devil's prospects. Boy, who's he after? There was a wicked king who really had it in for a blacksmith. This is an old rabbi story. And the rabbis wanted to make a point with it. There was a wicked king. He had it in for this blacksmith, so he kept ordering a chain. He ordered it longer and longer and longer, but he wouldn't pay him. Finally, there was this huge chain, and the blacksmith went bankrupt because he hadn't paid him yet. And because he couldn't pay his taxes because he was bankrupt, he had him weighted down and bound up with his own chain. And the rabbis would use that story to say, that's what sin does to us. We do it over and we do it over and we do it over, and finally it weighs us down. You know, they pulled a man out of one of the lakes here in Winter Haven one time, and he had chains around him. And the sheriff said, boy, that's really stupid, stealing more chains than you could carry. Yeah, that is an old one. But everybody got it, Ron. Okay. That's the truth, guys. The devil's prospects. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2:13. You guys don't think I hear what you're saying out there while I'm up here, do you? All right. I'm the pastor. I know everything, okay? All right. Sometimes. 1 John 2:13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, who's these seniors and middle-aged people and young men and children? Those are the different spiritual levels in a church. You have babies in Christ. You have people that are growing in Christ. You have senior people. You know, I would hate to add up how many sermons you've heard in your lifetime and add them all together. It would be tens of thousands. How many Sunday school lessons that you've sat in or you've taught? Because some of you have been Sunday school teachers. I would hate to have to add up. How many Sunday school lessons on the Bible that you've had in your lifetime? You know, so there are different groups with different levels of knowledge in a church. And so he writes to the fathers, he writes to the young men, he writes to the little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Yeah, that's why Paul van Gorder wrote a commentary in the book of 1 John, and he talked about love in the family of God, because over and over again, John uses these terms of the seniors, the fathers, the young men, the children, and 32 times in the book of 1 John, he talks about love. If someone has a love problem, if someone has a problem loving themselves, one of the prescriptions you want to write for them is to write them a prescription to read the 1 John every day. 105 verses. Read it every day. Because in there, that's where it says God is love. 32 times the word love. I write you, little children. I write you, fathers. I write you, young men. Keep on going. One of the problems in World War II after we won the Battle of the Bulge, and my father was in that battle. He was in 6 of the 7 major battles of Europe. The British people thought the war was run, so they quit joining the military. And they almost had a crisis in the British military. They weren't recruiting enough people. The government had to step up recruitment and remind them the war's not over. The war isn't over. And we've got people dropping out of fighting the good fight of faith. And guys, the war is never over till Jesus comes back. The war will never be over until the Prince of Peace comes and rules on the earth. We are always at war. I remember Carson Newman, where I went, played Kentucky State. And we were ahead by 20 points in the second quarter. Man, we were ahead by 20 points at halftime, Ron. And so the coach calls a timeout, and he calls everybody over, and he says, now calm down, just play steady. You know, what did he say? Ease up, take it easy. Yeah, they took it so easy they got beat. Yeah, and the coach got fired because it cost us making the NAIA playoffs. Yeah. There is no room in the good fight of faith to take it easy. You know, I'm not sure we're ever ahead. I think sometimes we pull even, but we don't give up and we don't take it easy. What do? We pay attention. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roameth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Matthew 26:14, what did Jesus say to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and we may do a study on that. Study the word so we can have discernment. Again, Hebrews 5:14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. We got a lot of twisted people in America. We got twisted leaders in America. They say good is bad and bad is good. We need to be able to tell what's right and what's wrong. And we get it from the Bible. Someone wrote a little poem that said, to possess truth is to possess strength. O watch and fight and pray. The battle's never given o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. You never give in. So, what happened here? All right. The devil's person, the devil's program, the devil's people, the devil's prospects, and the devil's powerlessness. 1 John 3:8 would make a good Christmas text. Why did Jesus come at Christmas time? Well, they asked one lady Sunday school class one time, why were all those people in Bethlehem at Christmas time? And they said, well, they're getting all their Christmas shopping done. Yeah. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There was an old belief in the Middle Ages that the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was to pay our ransom, not for sin, but to buy us back from the devil because we were slaves of the devil. They believed that, the ransom theory of the atonement. There was a Christian watching a man feed a lion in a cage, and he's talking to him while he's doing it, probably not a good idea. And he says, you certainly are a brave man. He said, no. He said, well, then the cat must be tame. He said, no. He said, look, mister, the cat ain't tame. He just old and he ain't got no teeth. But that's the key to understanding the roaring lion thing. Man, the lion roars, the king of beasts, everybody stops. But the roaring lion is the old lion with no teeth. He can't hunt anymore. He can't catch anything anymore. He can't move fast enough anymore. So the young lions, they hurt. They, you know, fish swim in schools. Lions go in prides. The young lions of the pride stick the old lion on the other side of the herd and let him roar. And that scares all the prey toward the young lions who hunt and bring them down. And then when the old lion comes around, they give him his share. But we should never be afraid of the roaring lion because he's the old lion with no teeth. Just remember that. He likes to roar, and he does scare people a lot. But 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. power is on the inside to offset the pressure that's on the outside. That's one of the things God does for us. He gives us power on the inside to overcome the pressure on the outside. There's a poem that goes like this. I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood, every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with his blood. That's right. You know, true guilt, if someone's done something wrong, they have true guilt. They need to confess it. 1 John 1:9, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 1:9, and I know that like the back of my hand, but we'll go look at it because I can't remember it right now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some people call that verse the Christian's bar of soap. The Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But if the devil is causing false guilt, you know how he likes to bring up dumb things you've said and done in the past? You know how he likes to bring up the major boo-boos you've done in your life? And don't tell me you haven't done any. I've done more than any of you. All right, you know, sometimes I did something and it was wrong, and then I did it again just to make sure it was wrong. Okay, yeah, and that's forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus, but the devil wants to accuse us anyway. When the false guilt from the devil comes, we resist it. That's what the Bible says. Someone said one time, what if you turn loose of Jesus? That's the wrong question, because Jesus will never turn loose of us. Jesus will never turn loose of us. Well, what if you don't feel God close by? That's one of the great truths of the book of Job. Job knew that when he couldn't see God, God could still see him. When he couldn't see God, God could still see him. What does that mean? It means that God loves us and God saved us and God's going to keep us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, you need to do that this morning. Repent, confess, accept, and he'll give you peace in your life and purpose to live by. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. Are we going to do all to these, Sharon?